turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Let us begin in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the grace that you have given us in him, through him, by him. Lord, in these moments, be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would know that they are connected to a larger body, that they are not alone, that they are in your hands, that what is happening to them is not a mistake, very difficult as it is. Lord, may they know your presence and be at peace. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. It's not quite July, and so I couldn't call the title of this message Christmas in July. But even though the events of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and in chapter 2, the visit of the Magi and those things are typically spoken, you know, in pulpits and preached on during the Christmas season, Matthew did not include them in his gospel to demonstrate a worldwide holiday for gift giving. Matthew didn't include them in his gospel so that you and I could make a birthday cake to Jesus and sing happy birthday in December. Not that those things are bad things, but that's not why Matthew put them here. That's not why God, through his Holy Spirit, communicated about his Son, Jesus Christ. No, beloved, Matthew is writing a gospel about the one true King and his kingdom. He began his gospel with a very well-crafted genealogy to boldly demonstrate and declare that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This is the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Matthew continues, he follows up with five links to fulfilled scripture. We'll get to one of them today, in order to further demonstrate that Jesus has the correct scriptural pedigree to be the Messiah, not just the genealogical one, but also in the fulfillment of God's holy word. These fulfilled scriptures, he begins and shows us right out of the gate in the life of Christ, very early on with respect to his birth and his early childhood, exactly who Jesus is and why he is the Messiah. We won't get to all five of them today, but between this week and next week we will do chapter 2, pretty big section. Between this week and next week, we will encounter all of them. And so we begin where Jesus began. Well, that's not exactly true, but at least we're going to start today where he was conceived as a human child. The most amazing miracle of all of the miracles in Scripture is this one. It outdistances any other miracle. Raising the dead, healing lepers, curing blindness. The virgin conception of the Son of God is number one. It's big time. It's above all the rest. It's an absolutely amazing miracle. Now, I do want to say this. I know that in evangelical and Christian circles, we talk about the virgin birth of Christ. And I don't necessarily want to take that away from you, but technically that's not accurate. Okay? What I mean by that is that what Scripture teaches is the virginal conception of Christ. Mary did not remain a virgin after the birth. And I'm not talking specifically about her relationship with Joseph, although Scripture does. I'm talking to the fact that Jesus Christ was born through natural means, which by definition changes the category of virginity. Okay, so I don't want to, that's not something that you know, it's not a hill I'm going to die on if you know, next Christmas you talk about the virgin birth. I'm not going to correct you on that. Just want to point out here that it was the conception that is virginal and miraculous. So read with me again, please, slowly. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, this Jesus who is the Messiah. It's the same exact word, definitely talking about his birth, but that Matthew used to say genealogy in the beginning. It's his origins, it's his beginning, it's his steps. This Jesus who is the son of David, this Jesus who is the 14th generation from the deportation to Babylon, this Jesus whom God broke a 400-year silence when he began to speak and he spoke to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds through angels. This is how he was born. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Now, you probably already know what the ancient betrothal system and custom was like in Israel. So I'm not going to spend a long time here unpacking it. But when a man and a woman were engaged in Israel back then, it was more than just a signal of intention to marry someday. You know, like, you know, she wasn't going around flashing her ring in her selfies and, you know, that kind of thing. And then everybody's, oh, did you set a date? You know, it just wasn't a signal. You know, it wasn't just like this little, I shouldn't say little, but, you know, it didn't signify the romance between a husband and a wife. It was far more than that. As a matter of fact, if you read Scripture carefully, you'll see that it calls them during their betrothal husband and wife. It's as if they are already married. It's a very, very binding agreement. Being engaged, betrothed, was more like actually being married than anything else. That's why Matthew tells us that the events here concerning the deception of Jesus were before they came together. Primarily, when that phrase, coming together, occurs in the New Testament some 30-some times, it doesn't particularly have any sense of intimacy involved. But here, that is without question a piece of the proper understanding, because it is directly linked to the fact that she was with child. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, in ancient Israel, they were betrothed, they were engaged, usually for about a year, and at the end there was a ceremony where the husband, the groom, would parade through the streets, and he would go to his wife's house, and he would pick her up, they'd have a little ceremony, and then he'd bring her home. They would come together and make their own house, or possibly live with their parents because of the extended nature of family and all that kind of stuff. But we cannot escape the fact that God tells us through Matthew that this also has to do with intimacy because she was with child. And this happened not by any human way, but by the Holy Spirit. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph doesn't know any of this yet. Matthew unfolds the story in such a way as to draw out in his reader somewhat of a collective gasp. Recall the character of the women in the genealogy. It could have been Sarah and Rebecca and Leah, but that's not who Matthew chose. It's not who he included in the genealogy. It was Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba and questionable character, sinners. People who sinned grossly, who had sexual scandal written all over their history. Matthew unfolds for that kind of gasp. Recall the scandal that surrounds their lives. And here we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the center of her own scandal. With her husband, as well as with others, I'm sure, later. But there's another moment to notice here that can be no doubt that Jesus was absolutely human. His mother Mary was with child. This wasn't some kind of weird sci-fi alien abduction infestation. This wasn't some kind of ancient, religious, pagan, grotesque ritual or some category. This is exactly the way you and I conceive of conception. But it didn't happen by any human means. It was of the Holy Spirit. But she was definitely with child, a human child who was developing along human methods and not methods, human, you know, categories. You know, 12 days old, there was a heartbeat and he smiled and he burped and he kicked and he did all the things that babies do in utero, in the womb. She was with child. Yes, the Holy Spirit is identified as the causal reason for the conception, but make no mistake, Jesus Christ is fully human. Now, Joseph at some point finds out about the pregnancy. You know, there's some indication that Mary probably didn't tell him. It probably progressed. And he knows that the child is not his because he knows as well as Mary knows, as well as we know, that they hadn't acted towards each other in any way that could have conceived this child. And yet, here they are, pregnant. Now, Joseph is a righteous man. He's a good Jew. And you and I read the fact that he was righteous in such a way to mean that he was a good guy and he was going to do good. Well, that's probably true. He probably wanted to go forward, but in his culture, the thing that reigned supreme was the law, the Mosaic law, the Deuteronomy law. And do you know what has to happen in this law? What are the possibilities? You and I see it played out in the Middle East all the time. Now, you can go on the internet and you can watch women be stoned who are adulterers. Now, there's something different for the category of those who aren't betrothed or engaged, but that's a possibility for this young girl, for Mary. If he declares publicly this, they could stone her. He doesn't want to do that. But he does want to live within the limits of the law, and so he's going to write her a certificate of divorce. But he has of a decent character enough, so he fulfills the law, but he also doesn't want to destroy her. There probably is genuine love and genuine goodness in this man, Joseph, for Mary. But he's not going to marry Mary. He's going to put her away quietly so as to keep her from further scandal and to make sure that he, before the law, it continues to be clean. He's a man of good character and he's a righteous man and does not wish to humiliate or cause any further scandal to her. So he decides to put her away privately. Now, did you notice that? And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. You and I didn't look at my study notes. I don't know exactly what, you know, my study Bible says. But send her away secretly means to give her a writ of divorce. You see, their engagements were so legal that it had to take a legal document to break it. He was going to divorce her. Wait, they're not married yet. How does that work? But that's exactly how serious betrothals were to the Israelites. It took a legal document to break the engagement. Marriage is a serious covenant and should not be entered into lightly. Not to mention breaking a marriage covenant. When Joseph has his plan in place, God speaks again. This time through an angel in a dream to Joseph. Did you notice the formal greeting as it was read today? But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. That's the way Joseph is greeted by this angel formally. But in verse, what was it, 16? Yeah, verse 16, Matthew tells us that Joseph, his father's name is Jacob. And yet here the angel gives a more adequate messianic name for Joseph, son of David. All sorts of connective tissue ought to be running through our minds now, based on the text and what we've said already, about who Jesus Christ is and how the genealogy and pedigree are coming together to show that Jesus Christ is the one true king. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. Joseph is called the son of David. The angel knows his heritage. The angel knows where Joseph come from. He doesn't say son of Jacob. I mean, that's true biologically. But more than that, He's the son of David, and how important that is. And the angel continues telling Joseph a whole bunch of information. He needs not to be afraid to take Mary, to marry Mary. I like that. That was kind of cool. Don't be afraid to marry Mary. You should marry Mary. It's good to marry Mary. Don't be afraid. There is no scandal concerning this child's conception. Doesn't matter what it looks like to you, Joseph. Doesn't matter what it looks like to the Mosaic law. Doesn't matter what it looks like to righteousness and how it is that you can maintain cleanliness in the culture. There's no scandal here because this child was conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. Not a lot of discussion there. Not a lot of reaction. Oh, yeah, really? Really? Really, really? Sorry, doing my Shrek there. This child was conceived, and now Joseph knows how it all came to pass. He understands. He's been given the information. But the drama doesn't just end there, because the angel gives Joseph a little more information. He does it a couple more times. The baby will be a boy. Who needs a sonogram when you got a heavenly messenger? Then the angel makes it really interesting. Parents, how did the discussion go in your house when you were choosing baby names? It's probably a first world problem that we have these long discussions about baby names and those kinds of things. No, we can't name him that because that was one of your ex-boyfriends. No, we can't name her that because that was one of your ex-girlfriends. No, because then their nickname is going to be this. And no, because, you know, that doesn't sound right. Or no, Uncle Harry, if you're going to name him Harry. Harry was a bad man. You know, you can't do that. We have all of these discussions, but the angel says, you're going to call him Jesus. Oh, I can imagine Joseph thinking, oh, great, thanks. I'm going to tell Mary this now. Guess what? Read Luke chapter 1:31. She already knew. She knew before him. Because the angel says you're going to have a baby and you're going to name him Jesus. All joking aside, his name is Jesus, which is the Hebrew, it's the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, will be Savior. Of what? He gives that information. He says, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is a brand new category, beloved. This is a brand new category. I wish we had the time to unpack and talk about this more. This would be a wonderful exploration in Scripture if you had the time or if you have the interest to work through the ideas here of how ancient Jews had their sins forgiven, what their system was like, what they were expecting in the Messiah. They weren't expecting to be saved from their sins. They were expected to be restored from the land. They were expecting a military leader to overthrow the Romans. Their expectations of Messiah really didn't have to do with being saved from their sins. But nevertheless, this Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, would be the one who saves his people from their sins. Who would these people be? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Then we're given the first of the five Old Testament ideas from the prophet Isaiah. I don't know how your Bible reads. But at the end of verse 21, the quotation ends, and in verse 22, it doesn't get picked up. And so Matthew, the way it reads in my English Bible is, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall be a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated meaning God's with us. Okay? We really don't know that the quotation ends there. We really don't know whether or not this particular phrase was on the lips of the angel or if Matthew, through the Holy Spirit, was giving us this information. But to be critical of that, people want to say that Matthew went and picked that particular verse out of Isaiah and brought it forward because he wanted to show something about Jesus that wasn't necessarily true. I like it better on the lips of the angel, to be honest with you, beloved. That the angel is declaring. Now, we don't have, I don't think there's any other angels that speak Scripture in Scripture. I mean, what they speak is Scripture because God makes it Scripture, but I don't know that they quote from Isaiah anywhere else that angels do that. I could be wrong about that. I haven't given that a lot of work. But we have the information. The angel, if it's on the lips of the angel now gives the first of five fulfilled prophecies of the Messiah. Whether they're direct quotes or implications of the Old Testament text, what is taken from here is Isaiah chapter 7, around verse 14, and Isaiah 9. This is all happening to fulfill what God had said long ago. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which being translated means God is with us. Right out of the gate, actually in Matthew's account, before Jesus is born, we have a full understanding that he is a human, fully human, and fully divine. He is Almighty God. He's not representing God. He's not an ambassador. He is not. He is God. That's an amazing thing that the one true king, as he has arrived in his conception, is both God and man. And the rest of the gospel teases that out. It's all in that context. Jesus is the human child of Mary, and he is God. If this were a hashtag, it would be hashtag mind blown. We just have to have that sink in a little bit longer. Jesus is both God and man. Joseph awoke from his sleep. He didn't awake from his dream. He awoke from his sleep. And they get married. And when the baby boy is born, he is given the name Jesus. He is raised by his mother Mary. And for all intensive purposes, he is raised by his adoptive father, Joseph. Joseph knows he's not the dad. He knows he wasn't there. He knows what the angel has told him, and yet he raises Jesus Christ as his very own. I don't know what else to call that. So it's adoption. It's a blessing. It's an incredible, incredible, amazing miracle. In the midst of mundane, average human life, how the God-man comes. Now, where's the rubber meet the road? How does this have any kind of application? It's a nice Christmas story. It's the virginal conception of Jesus. It's wonderful that angels talk to Joseph and dreams, and that's absolutely true. But here's a few suggestions. Being righteous in the midst of scandal. Accusations, slander, lies being told about you, whether for some sordid gain or whatever. I mean, we all live here in little town America. We know that stories get told. We know that slander and accusations come, whether they're true or not or any of that. We know that gossip occurs, right? So what do we do with that? Resist gossip. Ladies just finished a Bible study on that, right? I mean, that's right here in this story. How do you live righteously in the midst of scandal? Don't gossip. Don't do that. Avoid it. If someone's doing it around you, you know, there are tools we have that can help with that. In the midst of those kinds of things, you know what? We're not having an open house for graduation. You're going to come to my garage. You're going to probably have hot dogs, and then you're going to leave. You're not going into my house. I'm not making you walk through my house. I didn't do anything to my house. If you got to use the bathroom, go to Benson's, just a mile away. Okay? You know that makes me a bad parent? You know that? because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And there's a whole bunch of parents that are doing that too. It's all right, whatever. You know, whatever. I don't care. Well, have it at the church. No, it's all right, whatever. So I'm a bad parent. Big deal. Because the application, and I don't do this perfectly. Believe me, I had my bad days. Trust in the Lord, not in your reputation. I don't really care what Mr., I don't know, Austin Gardel, Hopalof, Leveland's son believes about me. Trust in the Lord. I don't know what Joseph's reaction was. But once he found out the information, he was good to go. Didn't matter about his reputation. I'm sure it impacted his business. I mean, I don't have any evidence of that. But come on, this is humanity we're dealing with here. Be merciful. In the midst of accusations, slanders, lie, when that negative kind of culture rises up against you and that kind of stuff, be merciful. Joseph, even though he was desiring to be clean and the righteousness of the law, was merciful to Mary. He wasn't going to humiliate her. He wasn't going to step on her. He wasn't going to diminish her. He was not living in the teeter-totter. You guys know the teeter-totter principle. I've shared that before. I stole it from somebody. You know, people like that on the playground and in life, at school, and at your jobs. In order for them to be up, you got to be down. That's not mercy. That's not grace. Be merciful, be gracious in the midst of all of that. To your accusers, to those who are slandering you, to those who are around you. And then here's one, righteous in the midst of scandal. How do we do that? Read God's word, the word that he has already spoken. And what I'm referring to here, what I'm kind of pushing towards, is Hebrews chapter 1. In olden days, in times past, God spoke to the prophets and in many diverse ways, but now he has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the midst of life, when those negative and scandals and accusation, turn to the word and read it. Reorient. Find out what mercy looks like. How to respond with grace, how to resist gossip, how to trust in the Lord and not in your reputation. It's in there. Secondly, I talked a number of times about this, the covenant relationship of marriage, what that is and what that looks like, how it was so, even engagement was so serious to them that it could only be broken by writ of divorce. Beloved, if you're married, review your covenant. Review the promises you made. You stood before clergy somewhere and you took vows. Review that. You made a promise before God to love, cherish, honor, obey in sickness, health, better, worse, richer, poorer, all that stuff. Those aren't just words to get through a half-hour ceremony. That's a promise you're making before God. Review that covenant. It's a pretty serious thing. Now, I know we live in a fallen world, and I know it's not easy. I get that. But if you need help, if in your marriage there's trouble or whatever, seek help. Counseling help, covenant help, scripture, Jesus help. Because we're human, and it's hard. And if you're on the other side of that, if there is a brokenness in your covenant, in your vows, in your marriage, if there is a divorce, receive God's mercy. Receive God's forgiveness. Move forward today. Because he is merciful. Hold marriage in high regard culturally. And everything that means in our culture. It is the number one institution, and it should be fought for. And believe me, if you're coming to me in premarital counseling, this is what you're going to get. We're going to talk about covenant all the time and the promises you're making and what it is you're displaying in your relationship. Joseph and Mary are a demonstration here of that. Little one, don't blow through things like Joseph, son of David. When you're reading scripture, read it carefully. Read it slow enough where that stuff kind of lands. It's like, wonder why he said that. You know, read it carefully. It's rich and it's enriching. God has already spoken. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, who are these people? Jesus is a Jew. He was born to Jewish parents. The lineage is mostly Jewish. It's not exclusively Jewish. Matthew's gospel is written to Jews about their Messiah, but not exclusively. And by the time we get to the end, it says, go into all the world, making disciples of all the nations. Jesus Christ tells his disciples that you go to the Gentiles. And Gentiles are included in his line. The people that he's going to save from his sins are those who have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not the nation. It's individuals who respond to the gift of Almighty God in the one true King. In his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. Do you know him? Have you repented of your sins? Have you come to him in faith? If not, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you need to be forgiven, go to God and ask for it. If you need restoration in your relationships, go to God and go to others. Ask for forgiveness. Be merciful. Repent of your sins and come to faith in Christ today. Because the one true King has arrived and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the arrival of our King to a young man and a young woman thousands of years ago. Scandal. Surrounding answers about who Jesus Christ is. We thank you for all of this. And may we walk out of here today with a little bit more on our minds and on our hearts to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We come to the Lord together.